Radio Prague News. The newly appointed cabinet is reviewing a number of proposed bills prepared by the former interim administration of Jiří Rusnok. The new Labour and Social Affairs Minister is planning to disallow payments into private pension funds by 2016. And the Speaker of the Lower House, Jan Hamáček, has nominated Sir Nicholas Winton for the Nobel Peace Prize. The newly appointed cabinet is reviewing a number of proposed bills prepared by the former interim administration of Jiří Rusnok. According to the Daily Pravo, several draft bills, which would otherwise have been slated for debate in Parliament next week, will be swept off the table. They include a proposed draft law on civil service, which the Rusnok cabinet prepared as an alternative to that currently being debated in the lower house, a draft law on the appointment of professors, and a draft law on the composition of the army and salaries in the military. The matter is to be debated at Monday's cabinet meeting. The new Labour and Social Affairs Minister, Michaela Marksová-Tominová of the Social Democrats, is planning to disallow payments into private pension funds by 2016. The introduction of the so-called second pillar of the pension system was a key feature of the previous centre-right coalition government's efforts to reform the pension system. Mrs. Marksová-Tominová told reporters a team of coalition and opposition politicians, along with experts, would start working on a new reform of the system. Around 84,000 people have joined the second pillar, sending part of their monthly social insurance payments to private funds. Environment Minister Richard Brabec, who took over his portfolio on Friday morning, has outlined his priorities. Mr. Brabec said he planned to travel to Šumava at the earliest opportunity to stabilize the situation at the Šumava National Park and try and secure the return of experts who left their posts amid a row over the park's future. The newly appointed Environment Minister also said he wanted to address the persisting problem of air pollution in Moravia and Silesia and improve the drawing of EU funds in the environment sector. The Speaker of the Lower House, Jan Hamáček, has nominated Sir Nicholas Winton for the Nobel Peace Prize, the CTK news agency reports, citing Parliament sources. Nicholas Winton, a former British diplomat based in Prague, helped 669 Jewish children from Czechoslovakia escape Nazi concentration camps by securing their departure to Great Britain before the war broke out. Sir Nicholas was nominated for the prize on three successive occasions by the former Lower House Speaker Miroslava Němcová. The initiative is supported by the Open Gate Secondary School, whose students have collected thousands of signatures on a petition supporting the nomination. Former Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil, who on Thursday announced his decision to leave the Civic Democratic Party after 14 years of membership, is resisting pressure for him to give up his parliamentary mandate. Under fire from former party colleagues, Mr. Pospíšil said on Friday that he had not signed a pledge to relinquish his mandate in the event of leaving the party or facing charges of criminal behaviour, because he considered the document vague and badly worded. Mr. Pospíšil said he did not want to squander the trust of the Plzeň electorate, saying he believed he had been elected on the basis of his own reputation and merit rather than as a member of the ailing Civic Democratic Party. Meteorologists have issued a hurricane warning for the eastern parts of the country. Hurricane-force winds of up to 145 kilometres per hour expected to hit the Jeseníky, Krkoše and Beskydy mountain regions late Friday or early Saturday. Cable cars and ski lifts are expected to be out of operation, and drivers have been warned to exercise great caution. Finally, a quick look at the weather forecast for the weekend. The weekend should bring overcast skies with scattered snow showers and day temperatures between -1 and 3 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Jan Richter. Coming up in today's program, can the Civic Democrats survive the loss of one of the country's most popular politicians? Then we'll have the latest news from the world of Czech business, and later we talk to Peter Freestone, who served as Freddie Mercury's personal assistant before settling in the Czech Republic. All that coming your way, so please stay with us. The former governing Civic Democrats lost one of their most popular public faces on Thursday when Jiří Pospíšil, the former justice minister, announced he was leaving the party. Mr. Pospíšil said he'd lost confidence in the new party leadership and some of his colleagues, but observers are divided as to whether this will do any more damage to the once mighty centre-right party. Rob Cameron has more.
Jiří Pospíšil was one of the most popular politicians in the Civic Democrats, enjoying several periods as justice minister in successive right-of-centre coalitions between 2009 and 2012, and occupying the post of vice chairman of this party between 2010 and 2014. A native of Chomutov in North Bohemia, Mr. Pospíšil spent his childhood and early career in the western city of Plzeň and became a strong regional asset to the party, leading the Civic Democrats' local organisation there for many years. At the 2012 regional elections, Mr. Pospíšil topped the party's list of candidates for the Plzeň region, the only region the Civic Democrats managed to win. Now, aged just 38, he's jumped ship, announcing his departure from the party that has stood at the forefront of Czech politics for two decades, ever since it was founded by Václav Klaus in 1991. The Civic Democrats have entered what looks like a terminal decline in the last 12 months, scoring just 7% in October's early elections, 2 percentage points over the threshold needed to enter Parliament. The most recent opinion poll put the party on just 5%. According to a short statement, Mr. Pospíšil said the chief reason for his departure was a mutual loss of confidence between him and his party colleagues. He also expressed dismay at comments made about him by his colleagues on social media without giving details. He said his departure would help party unity and allow the Civic Democrats to find a path to renewal. He made several unsuccessful attempts at re-election as deputy chairman at the party's January conference and appears furious at being snubbed. He's leaving the Civic Democrats, but he will not, however, give up his parliamentary mandate, despite signing a party promise to the contrary. He says he was elected only thanks to preferential votes and will not, he says, abandon the people of Plzeň. He now plans to cooperate with Topo 9, the only other right-wing party in Parliament. The new party leader, Petr Fiala, said it was unfortunate that Mr. Pospíšil was leaving at this troubled moment in the party's history, but some members have reacted with relief. Commentators said he was popular amongst local voters, but had few allies within the party itself. That notwithstanding, some believe the Civic Democrats are insane not to keep Mr. Pospíšil within their ranks. A party balancing on the edge of electability cannot, they say, pick and choose, especially when it comes to that rarest of things, a genuinely popular Czech politician.
Rob Cameron reporting. But now, Chris Johnstone joins me in the studio with a roundup of the latest Czech business news.
Relaxation of existing limits on coal mining are possible, according to the new Minister of Industry and Trade. Jan Mládek said on taking up his office that small changes could be contemplated on the main coal field in the northwest of the country, as long as there is no destruction of towns and local landmarks. He added that a major extension of the mining limits would have to be backed in a regional referendum.
State-owned rail passenger company Czech Railways says around 500,000 more journeys were taken using its services last year than in 2012. Passengers paid for almost 170 million trips in 2013, with the biggest increase on suburban, city and long-haul journeys. The company is counting on a small operating profit of around 24 million crowns from this year.
The Czech Republic exported less electricity in 2013 than its record-topping volume of 2012. The country sold 16.9 terawatt-hours of power abroad last year, compared with the previous 17.1 terawatt-hours. Czech power companies have been exporting the equivalent of the entire annual output of one nuclear reactor for each of the last 4 years. The strong export performance is undermining arguments for Czechia to add another 2 nuclear units at its Temelin site.
The biggest Czech brewer, Plzeňský Prazdroj, announced record export sales in 2013, although overall beer sales were down on the previous year. The brewer said that total sales declined by around 2%, but exports shot up by around 5%. Asian countries and Britain were among the brightest export markets. In the Czech Republic, sales of flagship beer brand Pilsner Urquell, cider and non-alcoholic beer sales bucked the downward trend.
A Czech clothes producer has landed the contract to provide the ceremonial uniforms for the Dutch Army. The order for around 70,000 outfits was won by Prostějov-based company Coatney in the face of Dutch and Belgian competition. Professional uniforms represent around 60% of the firm's turnover, with its outfits worn by the Czech Army, police, prison service, customs agents, firemen and staff at Prague's main airport.
Thank you, Chris Johnstone, for that. You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next, Jan Willinger's guest in this edition of The Art is Peter Freestone, a former personal assistant to the rock star Freddie Mercury.
For 12 years, Peter Freestone was a personal assistant and close friend to Freddie Mercury, the singer who reached superstardom with the rock group Queen. He was also with the singer during his final days in 1991. Since the start of the noughties, Freestone has lived in the Czech Republic, and I contacted him this week after it was confirmed that Queen will release three tracks that Time Forgot, which Mercury recorded with Michael Jackson back in 1983. Before we get to that, though, I began first by asking Peter about his former job.
Really, basically, it was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. My job was just to be there for Freddie, just to take care of him, really.
Was it enjoyable work to be so close to someone who publicly was such a huge star?
Well, the thing is, I think the easiest way to say it is, yes, it was work. I know this because money would go into the bank every month. But really, it was just living Freddie's life. You know, it was absolutely amazing. I had the easy part. I was spending the money that he was having to earn. You know, I was the one who went to the auction rooms. I was the one who went shopping. You know, so it was the easy part of the job.
I read from interviews that you've given in the past that Freddie Mercury, I guess like many stars, was a very different person, say, behind closed doors, that he was someone who valued his privacy. Is that true?
Yes, very much. Even when he invited friends over to Garden Lodge, to home, just, you know, people he knew, he would still put on the entertainer costume, if you like. He could just be himself, really, when there was just maybe four or five of the closest people he knew who were in Garden Lodge with him at the time, and he could just be himself. As soon as he went outside the door of Garden Lodge, he became public property. He realized that. And so became what the public expected. He would have on, you know, T-shirt, leather jacket, jeans, trainers, sunglasses. He would become what was expected of him.
Now, the Times and Rolling Stone both caught a lot of fans' attention this week with articles confirming that three lost songs, which Freddie recorded 30 years ago with Michael Jackson, will be released later this year. One version of one of the songs is already well known, but another called Victory is not, and if my understanding is correct, it has not been heard yet. Did you ever wonder to yourself, because you were there at the time, if those duets would come out?
Well, because they were Michael's property, they were recorded at his house, his studio, I didn't think they would ever see the light of day. To be honest, I'm very, very happy that they will. As you say, two tracks have had various treatment by fans over the years, the State of Shock and There Must Be More to Life Than This, both of which have been released in different forms already, one on the Jackson's album and one on Queen album. The third one, Victory, is something that has never been heard before. I've still got some memories of it because I was there in the studio when they were doing it. And in fact, on the original tape, whether it'll still exist when the thing is released, I actually play what you hear as the bass drum on the original Victory track. Except it wasn't a drum at all, it was a toilet door. I had to stand there for 5 minutes banging a toilet door. So, you know, I mean, I think it's going to be something for people to, you know, to really, it'll be very interesting for people.
That's brilliant. I'd heard about the bass drum, but I hadn't heard about the rest of the story, so that sounds fantastic. I hope they leave that in.
So do I.
As you mentioned, two of the songs already have a history with the fans. Do you think that the release of the third song, that this will cause something of a sensation when it does come out?
I hope so. I hope so. As I say, it's something that has never been heard before. Even the two songs that the fans have heard are going to be have a different treatment in that Queen are involved in the production. So I'm sure they will be paying attention to Freddie's voice, to the production of the whole tracks. You know, they're perfectionists. Everything has to be just right. So I believe it's definitely going to be worth the wait.
Could you take us back a little bit to the initial collaboration between Freddie Mercury and Michael Jackson? Where did the interest come from? Was it from Jackson's side?
The first that I heard about it was that Michael had come to see a Queen show in Los Angeles at the Forum. And he was talking with the whole band. I remember him sitting in a corner talking with Freddie and with John. After, Freddie said, Michael says we should be doing something together because he loves what he's heard, because he'd been listening to Another One Bites the Dust and he just loved that, the whole feel of that. And so Freddie said, oh, yeah, he wants to meet up and he wants me to record with him. It'll never happen. It's just talk. But then later, I mean, as in months later, there was another phone call from Michael because he heard Freddie was in L.A. and asking, please, will you come over and we'll see what we can do.
My understanding is that the initial meeting at Michael Jackson's ranch, however, was less than optimal. Is that correct?
I think I know what story you're referring to. Michael had a sort of mini zoo in Encino, and his sort of favorite pet at that time were llamas. And being summer in Los Angeles, Freddie was wearing white T-shirt, white jeans, white trainers. And after the tour of the mini zoo, Freddie was wearing white T-shirt, white jeans with the bottom sort of mud spattered and brown trainers, as we've been traipsing through the mud. It was different. Also, Michael took us on a tour of the house, and we were in his bedroom, and, I mean, it was so funny. He also had this big snake at the time, and the snake was in the bedroom, and it was in this very large terrarium. But while Michael publicly said what a great friend, and it was the best, you know, it was an amazing snake, and it was really good. What we did notice was that the roof of the terrarium held on with about 40 bricks to make sure that the snake could not get out.
That's cute.
It's amazing what can be said and then the little different facts behind it.
The actual recordings, when were those done? Were they done on that same day or was it another meeting?
No, it was just the one day. Because both of them were very busy at this time, it was, I think, in 1983, recording, touring, all of that sort of stuff. And Michael wanted Freddie to finish State of Shock because Michael wanted that track on the new Jackson's album called Victory. Freddie wasn't able to go and finish it. So Michael said, look, Mick Jagger would be able to do it. Do you have a problem if Mick does it? But Freddie says, no, of course not. You know, you need it finished. It's your music. It's your track. You know, go ahead. Do what you need to do. And basically, because of timing, they were never able to get back and finish anything.
How does the quality of the vocals strike you in terms of the way the singers complement each other? Freddie was such a powerhouse singer.
I think because they are so different that it works so well. You know, if both of them had the powerful voices, it would seem almost like a competition. But you used the right word with complement, and the two voices do work together very well. It's like a conversation.
You were with Freddie up until his untimely death in 1991. I wanted to ask you how your life changed after that. Eventually, you ended up here in the Czech Republic, and you've been here for, what, 10 years now?
12 years now. Yeah, life did change very much. And that, if you think that Freddie's been gone now 20 years, and I'm still talking about him, physically, Freddie wasn't around anymore, isn't around anymore. But the image, the voice, the personality of Freddie is still around, and there is still a huge interest in him. He was a unique person. He was an amazing person, and he wrote some great music. So if, as I say, if the new generation out now is interested in it, then I will do what I can for them. I mean, I'm still involved in music here in the Czech Republic. I am involved in a thing called Rock Camp, which is for children, but they aren't children, between the age of 11 and 17. For 2 weeks every summer, we get together and they make music, which is absolutely amazing. And I'm also working with a young Czech musician who has a band, Milan Chris, who has actually persuaded me for the first time in my life to believe I can write lyrics. So I'm actually writing lyrics for songs that they're creating the music for. Everything I do now is still because of Freddie Mercury.
Queen today still has legions of fans all over the world. I've read that there are radio stations, for example, that won't play performers that are, I don't know, older than, have been around for more than 30 years, that kind of thing. How do the fans strike you here in the Czech Republic, as well as the radio stations, because Queen really does have a special place in a lot of Czech fans' hearts?
One of the reasons that I've actually settled here in the Czech Republic is because of people's attitude to music. In Britain, it's very narrow-minded. People, particularly young people, will only listen to what they're told to listen to, basically, written and performed by people under the age of 30. They have MTV and they are glued to that, and that's what they believe is the music. Here, I've met a few times, I know Carol Gott, who is listened to by people from the age of 9 to 90. In England, that doesn't happen. It will not happen. Here, in schools, the children are taught about Janáček, Dvořák, Smetana. Again, that doesn't happen in Britain. People here are prepared to open their minds to music. I think the reason that Queen is so established, so well-liked, is because their music actually is timeless. If you think that they started recording music 40 years ago, yet you listen to it, it's still as fresh today as it was then.
Peter Freestone was Jan Wellinger's guest in that edition of The Arts, which was first broadcast last August. That brings us to the end of our English language program today. Just a reminder that all our programs are available online at radio.cz, and you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and on Twitter. If you have any comments or questions for us, you can easily get in touch. Contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12, 12299 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.